This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It is time for Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sean, we needed the Avs to win last night because I was pretty negative yesterday talking about the Nuggets losing to, of course, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I was desperate for something positive, and it was an ugly, grimy, gross kind of game, but the Avs pulled out in the end.
The Kings are winning on style points, and by that we mean lack of style. Like, this is the ultimate glass half full, glass half empty series to start, right? In that they're up 2-0, but you haven't looked great, and you're not playing brilliantly offensively, right? Like, it feels like you are playing as if they're, it's like some of the old Larry Eustachy, Tim Floyd, Iowa State teams that would try to beat you 58 years. A few of your old Big 12, Big 8 listeners are nodding. They would try to beat you 57-52. The Kings are that kind of style, but in hockey. But 2-0 is 2-0, and that's a really good indicator historically for both these franchises and where this series is going to go. Now you almost just kind of want it over with, right? With one overtime game already, it feels like, well, hell, they played – 5 periods and had 4 intermissions because of that glass breaking, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like that, by the way, with that glass breaking?
No.
Was that you? Were you up front doing that, man?
No, but it was pretty close to Sean Payton, which made me laugh. I saw him. I know we'll segue to the moderate interest in the draft this year, but no, I saw him come in because I'm always wandering around that corner of ball, and because of the drinks. Because you know me and caffeine, the Diet Pepsi was all in this other area where the players usually warm up. And so we're all in that tunnel near the Nuggets warm-up area just doing laps. These are the only steps I get during the playoffs. And Sean walked in one of those entrances from the he came in from the loading dock. And they shuffled him in, and he was pontificating about something. But then, I don't know, when you saw him, when they put him on the Jumbotron, he kind of half waved and then just looked really, really annoyed, which felt like Sean, everyone in press row was like, what is he so ticked off about? They've got nothing to do Thursday night. I laughed and said, that's Sean. But it was weird. I've not seen anything like that in game. That second period had pretty much everything but a goal. When you count the physical altercations, a goofy penalty, a call on the car, and then a great save by Wedgwood that gets everybody fired up, and then the game just stops, and you get 2 second periods. So, no, I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was a wild game. It did. It kind of had a little bit of everything, except for a lot of goals. You know, Sean, not a lot of goals. But nope. The Avs win this thing 2-1, and your column in the Denver Post, Avalanche, Nicholas Waugh overcome blind refs, shattered glass, take 2-0 series lead over the Kings. That's just one of those dirty, gross games that you're proud of the team for finding a way to do it, even though it doesn't really feel necessarily like, you know, our typical Avalanche hockey.
Well, I think when you went into this series, the thing in your head, if you're an Avs fan or just Joe fan in general, with the one seed against the second wild card is, well, this is the one, because Nashville, some of those games were like that 4 years ago. We should win every game 5-1. Right, like that's the thought in your head, or 4-0 or 7. But then I think a couple of those, if I memory, this is just off an old man's brain here, off the top of the head, I recall at least one of those Predators games, maybe 2 or 3 of the sweep going, or was it 5? But anyway, one of those early ones went to overtime that had a McCarr winner. Might have been game 2, ironically, and I think it was, because I think it was at home. Yeah, it wasn't home. So you get those at this time of year. I think it's the style and the way and the fact that the first 2 periods of both games have just been an absolute slog. I think we've had 1 goal. I think that's right. In the first 2 games over the first 2 periods, and I think people expected this was going to be – They expected it was going to be a 4-0 or a 4-1 series win that was going to have a lot of easy warm-up, fun kind of games. And it just hadn't been that. And I guess there's two, back to the glass half full, glass half empty thing. Again, glass half full, you're 2-0 when you've gotten one goal, none from Nathan MacKinnon, no goals from Cale Makar, and from a team that's actively physically trying to beat the heck out of Cale Makar. Or it's 2-0 and boy, we don't look like a one seed. I think both those things are valid. Both of those things are true. And feel free to debate it, but ultimately at this time of year, I would contend, because I think somebody, a former Avs writer, had said that the Avs got away with one last night, or people were kind of thinking, like, what? How'd you come up with that last night? I do see how you could, but I think the bottom line is still the same. I'm not going to be as sunny as Jared Bednar, who operates in his own lovely plane of existence. He's like, I love that. I loved how we play. I loved how we checked. I loved how we do it. And there is that, because I can't get to my chair later.
That was close.
He talks way slower than me, way more laconic. I'd be like, well, I'm the son of a Mountie, and you can hit me in the puck with a face, and I don't react. And I'll just keep coming. He's the Terminator. I do like Jared Perkins.
Oh, yeah.
When you think of his coaching. And he is the son of a Mountie. Are you going to mess with the son of a Mountie?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No. Yeah.
You? I don't think you are at all. Look that one up, kids. Yeah, and I could see that. That's kind of the two interpretations. Are they lucky? Or are they playing, showing that they can play the ugliest way possible? Yeah, I think both those things are true. I just think the folk memory we have from 4 years ago is that first round felt pretty easy. And I want to say there was a couple blowouts in that. I know there were a couple blowouts in that one. And I don't think you're going to get a blowout in this one. I just think that the Kings just won't. God, it's crazy to say the Kings won't allow it. And Forsberg is good enough. Anton Forsberg is playing well enough between the pipes. That's kind of I was telling another TV guy last night, because you know what a chit-chatty guy I can be in between deadline assignments. I'm like, they've got the formula for what used to be a pesky eight seed when the bracket made sense. But that same idea, so essentially a low seed. That is, you can win in the playoffs to a certain point if you just have a hot goaltender and can just muck it up. Like, you can play for 6 weeks that style, because that's the way these games go, and it's the way these games are called, and so fewer things are called usually physically, and how they let things go typically. So, I don't know. I still think this is a 4-1, 4-0 series for the Avs, but there might be some physical toll going into it, and that's going to be concerning when the whole point and the whole argument, and it goes back to the half-empty side of this, of getting this series, was to avoid the kind of physical toll that Dallas or Minnesota was going to take in the first round and did take on you last year. Now, time will tell, and if you still win 4-0 while getting beat up, you still might get, you know, 4 or 5 days off to rest and heal up while those two teams are killing each other to face you. So maybe that all washes in the end. But, yeah, I think it's okay to be a little eyebrow raised about the lack of dominance, because I don't know if that gear's going to come. And I think DJ Smith knows I can just kind of smother these guys. That's the only shot I have, and let's see what they do. And they haven't really risen above that, to be fair.
Well, 2-0 at least, and yeah. Again, a game that had everything. And, man, Sean, what more can we say about Scott Wedgwood? I thought maybe there was a chance we'd see Blackwood last night, just listening to some of Bednar's comments.
Yeah.
But, you know, he stuck with Wedgie.
And I tell you what, the only thing with, and I've had friends who are Avs fans who've been texting me a little bit this morning and afternoon and talking about, yeah, one-off, great, a good dude. I mean, Blackie's a good dude, too, but Wedgie's a really good dude. So you're happy for him on a personal level, and I hope they can keep it up. But rest is a thing, and workload is a thing, and he's like smashed through all his career marks on starts and appearances. The question, and I may pose this in print at some point, if they're up 3-0, would you be tempted to start Blackwood Sunday with a 3-0 lead just to take some foot off the gas? And I would, and to give your guy, your number one, a chance to just take a breather mentally and take that workload off the idea of we've got six more weeks, right? I'd be tempted and to give Blackwood, dangle a carrot in front of him of like, hey, you're going to get 3-4 starts here. You know, is that a compliment that you get a start when you're up 3-0 and there's nothing to lose? And then, you know, no, but I don't know. It's a tricky one. It really is. And I'm trying to get smarter people than me to explain that.
It's a fine idea. I actually don't. I don't agree. I don't disagree with that, really.
Just because of the rest. And Wedgie's the kind of guy, I don't know if you ever met him or talked to him, but he'd be like, yeah, okay. Because he'd been a backup as an NHL player his whole life. He'd just be like, yeah, okay. You know, he'd just probably shrug and be like, yeah, whatever works. I think Blackie's a little more complicated. I think he's been a 1A a little more. And that's a tricky one because your 1B has just been better and you need to keep riding that hand because you probably also don't win both these games if Blackwood isn't going for one of them because there's that mental thing and the eyesight and the health that he's just lost. He just loses those little moments and loses the puck at times that can get you killed metaphorically in a series like this when it's this tight. So I trust Wedgwood more. I would lean Wedgwood, but I wouldn't be opposed to sprinkling Blackwood in there just for load management. And that sounds silly this time of year because the other hardline hockey rule is generally ride the hot hand and don't shake it when it's working. And I could see that too. And you would be like, yeah, why am I moving off basically probably the best goaltender, one of them in the league right now? You don't. But rest is a thing. So I'm very curious if they have a 3-0 lead in this series or any other, because that's possible too if you can get past the second round. Because the other thing from 4 years ago is how much easier did that Oilers series feel after the Blues, right? Yeah. And that sounds counterintuitive to say, but it did. It was over in a flash, mostly because the Oilers' goaltending was terrible. And that was the 7-5, 8-4 kind of games. Like, those were wild. That was video game stuff, and it was a lot of fun. This team has it in them to do that, but I don't, you know, we're not going to see it this series. So I don't know. That's a great question, and that's why I'm Brady, that's a good one. I may circle back to that in print because I'm curious too, especially if you've got a 3-0 and Blackie sitting there and have a chance to also have some load management with Lenny.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Sean, also, I mean, Thursday night's going to be epic. It's going to be a big one. The Nuggets, a different tone, certainly in their playoff series compared to the Avalanche's series at this point. After dropping game 2, Jaden McDaniels basically calling every Nuggets player trash. I mean, I didn't like what he had to say. And if I'm a Nuggets player, you know, I got to take offense to that and I got to use it on the floor. They're all saying the right things, but I want them to use it on the floor tomorrow night because maybe if they don't, then maybe they just don't have it.
This and what's worrying, and we talked about this for gosh months in this roller coaster ride that they've been on. This is a crucible for David Adelman because do you think if Jaden McDaniels says that against the Michael Malone team, how many times do you think Michael Malone is bringing that up?
Oh,
like every
all the time.
6 seconds.
Yeah.
It is in giant letters in front of everyone. Waved at them. He gets up and he goes, hi, bad defender. Hi, bad defender. He would just shame them into being angry. I don't know if Adelman has that button. Like, he can be taciturn and kind of jerky, but not Malone jerky. That's a different gear. Because if I'm a Timberwolves fan or even Chris Finch, I'd be like, what are you saying?
To me, oh, yeah.
This is what you say when you're up 3-1, not when you're 1-1 or you're done and you're like, you know, the heck with you guys. And then you can just dump on them as often happens at the end of a playoff series. But this is after game 2. I got to admit, I think this has been the case. I think the Nugs will be the more entertaining of the weekend games to me between them and also because the Avs games have been dreadfully, well, other than fighting, have not been really aesthetically pleasing so far. Nugs Wolves is everything, unfortunately, I thought it might be. I'd kind of hoped it would have been simpler after game 1 and then the first quarter on Monday, and well, okay, there you go. That was how that game went. I'm like, oh, boy. And then Tim Connelly does a 35-inch vertical leap at the end in front of the cameras, and I go, oh, man. Oh, boy. that I you know, I don't know what you drink while you're watching games, but whatever you've got, you're going to need it nearby, because that's a tricky one. You got to get a split. You have to. I think there's just no other choice. I'd bring it back here, but yeah, I guess the good news is the Nugs have this season, for all that we've learned, are pretty good on the road and have been just as good on the road, if not better, than at home so far. And I'm really curious when we're going to see Peyton Watson, because that's one name McDaniels didn't mention as being a garbage defender. Let's note that. And they miss him. And here we are.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an epic Thursday night, Sean. I'll tell you that, man. Nerves. It's a tense time. It's not necessary. Sometimes I just want to say I'm straight up not having a good time, even though this is what we love. It's what we sign up for. But as a fan, that's where I sit. I'm on the edge of my seat, stressed out of my mind most nights.
Yeah, they're the best two postseasons in North American pro sports. Fight me on it. Fight me on it, Andre Kopitar.
Let me think about that. But I tell you, different emotions watching NBA and NHL playoffs. Me especially NBA than I do even NFL playoffs. It's hard to explain, but it is what it is.
Yeah. No, I think it's the best. I think the Stanley Cup's the best. The NBA is the second best. And this is Mr. Baseball guy talking. I think it's just miles ahead of any other sport that way. And it also, to me, also waters down its regular season. Like, I just don't, as we talked about, they're too long. They're too
yes.
many
games. Yeah, I agree.
I don't care. They should start around about Christmas, and they start too early because they want to make up the money, because it's about them making the money. And you get more people in October and November, you make up the money. And you have a cup in Vegas in the winter that nobody cares about, and you make up the money. and that's fine. You know, I get that too. But yeah, this is the time. This is the time when those winter sports really, really shine. And when you've got two good teams, you're on the edge of your seat. Maybe you should just call Sean Payton on Thursday night, crack open a cold one, and watch the playoff games with him in the bunker, because that's probably what they'll be doing.
Yeah.
I would still have those games on, one of those games on, in one TV like the rest of us, and just hope that whoever they want at 62 is still on the board come Friday when they've got to do some work.
Sean, great stuff from you as always, man. Love these conversations, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. I hope the Avs are done, and I hope the Nuggets are still alive by the time we talk next week.
Yeah, amen. Same to you, brother. Thanks.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly. Great stuff from him as always. He joins us every Wednesday. Give us his take, what he's cooking on. He's following a lot of the exact same things that we are here on the show, so it's a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a short break here, Michael, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.